You know, the suicide rate among kids is just astronomical. There's so much despair out there. And I think those of us who have gone through a lot and have triumphed over so many of life's problems need to be a light and also an encouragement to those kids. I mean, they're so young. They're just starting out in life. They have the whole world at their feet, and they don't see it, but they need to be told that over and over again and encouraged. And, you know, you have to let them know that there's so much out there for them. They just have to make up their mind that they're going to go get it.
Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Today's guest is singer-songwriter Luann Hunt. She's worked with session musicians that have backed everyone from the Righteous Brothers to Kenny Loggins. We'll be talking about three original songs and one that's not original that was written for Patsy Cline before Luann's time. It was never recorded by Patsy, but it was recorded by Luann Hunt. You have been in the business for a while. How did you get started? What were your influences?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to sing. And of course, I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I listened to all the kind of the folk rock acts of the day, James Taylor and Crosby, Stills, and Nash, all those people. Oh. They were big influences on me growing up. And I really didn't display a whole lot of singing talent when I was a kid. And that's part of my story that, you know, I was really ridiculed by my family whenever I would try to sing or mention that I wanted to sing. It was it was not a good situation, but I just kind of felt in my heart that that was something that I was supposed to do, you know, not necessarily to become a big star, but it was just going to be part of my life's journey.
That's a valuable story. I think everybody want to hear that. So go for it.
It's true. You know, I mean, it's people are inspired by it because not everybody grows up in a supportive environment. And I know people that didn't, and they just gave up at some point because they didn't feel like they had anybody around them that was going to help them get through some of the obstacles and challenges that they were going to face. But I've always been kind of a self-motivated person. So if people support me, they do. If they don't, whatever. But I'm going to keep going anyway.
Do you think maybe a lot of times children in their formative years just listen to what people say? And you're far from it, but I know there are people that are tone deaf, and I don't really believe there's such a thing. But I think if somebody says, you can't sing, you can't carry a tune in a bag, you're tone deaf, a child will hear that and it breaks their heart.
It does. And I taught voice for many years, and I had a lot of young students. And some of them, when they came to me, were just not that great. They didn't really sing on pitch. And, you know, if you would have heard them, you'd have said they're tone deaf or they're never going to be a singer. But I think because of my background, I was much more sensitive to that. And I also kind of understood that you can do really anything you want to do if you put your mind to it. Mm-hmm. So I coached them with that sort of mentality and really believed in them and cheered them on. And some of them are incredible. I mean, I know of one young girl. She was just little when her parents brought her to me for lessons. And I used to be, I mean, it was tough because she just really couldn't sing very well. And I just kept working with her and working with her. And now she's a professional singer and she sounds incredible.
That's wonderful. Once their heart's broken, I think broken hearts have good memories.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But you have to, I believe in life that a broken heart is often something that'll be a catalyst for you to push yourself past that and go to where you really want to go. I know for me that was true.
Bingo. That's the
goal.
Well,
thank you.
Your message is totally just incredibly good, I think. I hope a lot of kids listen to it. I have listeners of all age.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah, it's important to hear it because, you know, the suicide rate among kids is just astronomical. There's so much despair out there. And I think those of us who have gone through a lot and have triumphed over so many of life's problems need to be a light and also an encouragement to those kids. I mean, they're so young. They're just starting out in life. They have the whole world at their feet and they don't see it, but they need to be told that over and over again and encouraged. And, you know, you have to let them know that there's so much out there for them. They just have to make up their mind that they're going to go get it.
Did you consciously make a point to remember what it was like to be of that age and being vulnerable, being not so in touch with what the world was about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember that I was just sort of in my own world. And even though I was getting all this outside opposition, it never fazed me that that was coming at me. I wish I was still like that.
I think you are.
I am to a certain degree, but I was more like that when I was a kid. Like, I'm just going to kind of do what I want. It was happy-go-lucky. Yeah, you want to make fun of me, whatever. I'm doing what I'm doing. So I am in touch with the way that I was. I mean, I can think back to that and remember me being like that. And if I hadn't been like that, I probably would have quit.
Yeah, or you wouldn't be a person that can coach that.
That's true. That's very true.
That's a remarkable thing. You're doing us all proud. I think it's,
thank
it's,
you.
It's really a really good thing. I can't say enough. So when you went into the recording studio, I mean, that's quite a leap, and you hear yourself and you think, wow, well, what was your first thought on that?
My early experience in the recording studio was incredible because my husband had, out of the blue, he's been in the newspaper business his whole life, but back in the early 90s, I was looking for some original songs, not only for myself, but also for a couple of my students. And my husband, who doesn't even play an instrument, he wrote some songs and he had the melody in his head and he got the words and he sang them into a tape and they were really good. I was totally shocked. So anyway, we started hiring guitar players and they would come over to our house and help us get them down on tape. And I would just sort of sing as a guide for them. And then from there was 7 songs that we really thought were pretty good. So we took them into the recording studio. And we had a really, really good guy producing and mixing and mastering and all that stuff. But he was so, so encouraging to me and helpful. And I never once when I was there felt like I wasn't any good. You know, I mean, I really felt supported there and like I really did have something. And he made me sound so professional just because he worked with me so much. I mean, back then we were recording on reel-to-reel tape.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't have the luxury of auto-tune and all that stuff. I mean, you had to pretty much sing it dead on or retake it. But he taught me a lot about pitch and phrasing and all that. And just the experience of doing this over and over and over again, you know, it took me a long way ahead of maybe where I would have been had I not gone into the studio. So,
yeah, back in the analog tape days, studio time was very expensive too. So you had to be well rehearsed to go in and utilize the time as good as possible. There is a song called Broken Branches that I believe is going to release in September.
Yes, yes.
Okay, now that's when your husband wrote the whole thing, wrote the lyrics?
Yeah, he wrote the lyrics and the melody.
Oh, who arranged it?
I produced the song, and the harmony singers are two of my gals, Stephanie Hillstock and Donna Brindell, and we call them the Luettes. Anyway, they did the incredible harmonies on that song. And I've been really fortunate to have them because I always imagined that I'd have these wonderful gal singers as my backups. And before, my studio guy was doing all my background singing, and we blend great, so it worked out. But, you know, I just sort of wanted to do something different, and these ladies came into my life, and they're really quite extraordinary.
What's the song about?
Well, my husband wrote it back in July of 2017 when his mother passed away. They had been estranged for maybe 5 or 6 years, and he did get to talk to her about a month or so before she died, and they kind of patched things up. But, you know, his family relations have not been very good, and he doesn't really always speak about the way he feels, but he can say it in a song.
Wow.
You're just like, oh my God, it's so deep and profound, you know? So yeah, so she passed away, he got the news, and then like within a few hours he came in and he sang that to me, and I was like, oh my God, I gotta record that.
You love 'em and you hate 'em, you fight 'em and you spite 'em. Stubborn and they're headstrong, won't admit they ever were wrong. It's very hard to miss them when they've died. Family trees, broken branches and me, blood so thick it drips out my blessings.
It's an awesome song. Thank you so much for recording it. Lightning in a Bottle.
Yeah, and that was a kind of an interesting story. I had gotten an award in 2016 from the Traditional Country Music Association, and they asked me to come to Lamar's, Iowa, to accept the award and to perform. And of course, I didn't want to take a band up there because it was cost prohibitive, because this thing was like a free event. So I called this guy who had a studio in Sioux City. His name is Stephen Banky. And I told him I was going to had to sing at this thing, and I wanted to know if he knew any guitar players who could back me up, you know, on an acoustic set. And he said, you know, I can do it. So went up there, and we rehearsed prior on Skype and everything. It worked out okay. And when I got there, the promoter had me singing on the first day, like, all these back-to-back shows. It was really weird. It was like from, you know, 2 to 2:30, then 2:45 to 3:50. I mean, all the way up to the main show. And I thought, by the time I get to the main show to get my award and perform in front of the, you know, the big crowd, I'm not going to even be able to sing.
A test of how good you are.
Yeah. So I asked the promoter, I said, can you take me off some of these lists? Because he didn't tell me ahead of time that I was going to have to do all these back-to-back shows. And he's like, well, you know, do what you want. And so I asked Stephen, because Stephen said he could sing and all, and he knew some songs. And I said, would you fill in for me at least on one of these shows? So he did. And oh my God, it's like, I was sitting there, you know, in the crowd, like going, oh my God, this is like an undiscovered superstar. And he has no designs on, you know, being an artist or anything in that way. And I was like, oh, this is incredible. So after the event, he invited us the next night over to his studio. And my husband had started working on this song, Lightning in a Bottle. It was a good melody and everything. And when we got together to write, I said to Stephen, why don't we listen to Steve's song, Lightning in a Bottle? And so the three of us collaborated, and I had the idea to turn it into a song about, you know, a country singer and his lover and how it blew up their relationship, so we could do it as a duet. And we did. We wrote it, and it came out good. And then the following year, I got another award from the Country Music Association, so I went back to Lamar's, and Stephen and I performed the song live, and it got a good response. And next thing you know, I'm recording it. It's now been climbing up charts. We just heard yesterday that it's number 7 on the New Music Weekly Country chart.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's gotten great response. And tonight they're filming a video of a line dance that was done for it. And yeah, so it's pretty exciting. I mean, here's this guy I just called to back me. And all this has happened.
Here's the incredible new single from Luann Hunt and Steve Banky, Lightning in a Bottle. This one knocked my socks off, folks. So I'm not surprised it's rising up the charts.
Got caught up in all the after parties, sweet temptation everywhere. Took my eyes off the prize, came down off my high. I lost everything I knew. There ain't no lightning in that bottle, only heartache.
Understand,
oh, that ain't no way to feel.
demons cannot be outrun. There ain't no lightning in that bottle, only heartache. Ain't no way to beat a big man.
Go forth with a positive attitude and you kind of just never know where it's going to go, do you?
No, you just, I always say, you know, just show up and then the universe will do the rest.
I don't know if it was Woody Allen, I want to say it was, that said showing up is 95% of it.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah. Well,
showing up with expectation too, you know.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know what I want to talk about, and I'm sure you get this every time, is the Christmas song.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it's, gosh, this will be aired in July, so perfect.
Yeah, well, what's kind of cool about this song is that you can listen to it all year round because it's not overtly Christmas. I mean, it has a Christmas message, but it doesn't have a lot of jingle bells and all the typical things that you hear in a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you put it on in July, it's just like kind of listening to a country song, you know.
With the spirit of Christmas.
Right, exactly. The story behind that is so mind-blowing to me still when I tell it. I have a friend, his name is Lawton Giles, and he and his partner Buster Beam used to write songs for Patsy. And they wrote about 5 or 6 of them, and one of the songs that they wrote for her was called Let the Teardrops Fall. And I think it was a top 10 back in the day on the Cashbox charts. And Lawton tells me that Patsy loved him and Buster. You know, they were just great, great collaborators to her. And so she approached them in 1960 and said that she wanted to give her fans a Christmas song. And would they write her a Christmas song? So they said, sure, you know. So they wrote the song, Christmas Without You, and they played it for her. And, oh, my gosh. She just fell in love with it, took it to her label, and it was in the summer, you know, so they said, well, you know, we need to put something out on you before Christmas, so we need something right now. Can those guys just change the words to the song, you know, to something non-seasonal? So they asked them, Patsy asked them to, and they said, okay, so they changed it to a song called How Can I Face Tomorrow? And they put it out on the charts in the summer. And nothing happened. I mean, it was like it went nowhere. Mm-hmm. So apparently Patsy was heartbroken that she didn't get her Christmas song and she didn't get to give her fans a Christmas song. So that was the end of that. And then, of course, Patsy died in the plane crash. And Lawton had the song all these years in his catalog, never talked about it. So back in 2008, I was in a meeting with him because I went to him because I was getting ready to record a Christmas album and I wanted to find out if he had any songs that he could play me. So we're sitting there and he plays me a bunch of stuff. And then next thing you know, he says, oh, yeah, I'll tell you the story. And he starts telling me this story about Christmas Without You.
And Patsy Cline. Wow.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting there and I said, you know, I don't know what it sounds like, but I really don't care what it sounds like. I'm going to record it no matter what. And so he dug it out and he played it for me. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, I knew it was a great song. And he hadn't, it went like verse, chorus, and then it was another chorus. It didn't have a second verse. So I asked him if he would write a second verse. And he said, you know, sure. So I went and I recorded it. And came out great, and I started promoting it online each year and putting out press releases about it, and it was getting like more known and more known. And back in 2015, Sweden's largest daily newspaper named it one of the top 25 Christmas songs of all time. And I was on this list with, you know, Mariah Carey and Merle Haggard and all these famous people. And And then a Trucker's News that year named it among the top Christmas songs of the year. And this other magazine did here in the U.S., Auto Straddle. Last year, Universal Music did a big story about it on their front page of their website. I mean, it's gotten a lot of
that's awesome. You not
a lot
only,
of attention.
You not only showed up, but you showed up with something good and something with a really cool backstory.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I always say that sort of put me on the map. I'm glad it's a great song because it is a great story. And so, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to tell the story and then have it be like a B song, you know?
Well, it's not, you know, it's only just begun. That must be a Carpenter's song.
Right.
But, no, it's your Christmas gift.
Yeah. And you know, this is why this is mind blowing to me because, you know, I believe that our journey is carved out here before we even show up on the planet. I really do believe that. And we talked about showing up, and I've always shown up for everything that I've been asked to do. And here it was 1960. It was 2 years before I was born. Patsy comes and asks Lawton and Chuck to write this song. I mean, she had access to the best writers in Nashville, right?
Absolutely.
But she goes to Lawton and Buster instead, okay? So it's 1960, and they write her this killer song, and her label doesn't want it, you know? I mean, really? Seriously? It just doesn't even make any sense that would have happened. And so I realized that song was not for her.
Here
it
you
was
are.
For me. Yeah. It was for me, and that's why it happened. The chances of it are like a million to, you know.
Yeah, name some. Yeah, buy a lottery ticket.
Right. Yeah, it's the odds are astronomical that something like that could have happened, and I do believe that song was meant for me all along, and that's what blows my mind.
Without you,
Can we talk about, I mentioned this earlier, Caught Up in the Thought of You? That's another original. And to me, the vocal on it is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Very touching.
Thank you. Well, I wrote that after going through kind of a really hard time in my life. And I did this project called Moving God, Moving Mountains, and I wrote a book. And then I had a CD that sort of went along with the book's theme. And Caught Up in the Thought of You was a part of that. And, you know, that song, I remember just coming home one day. I was at a meeting or something with people that were handicapped, severely handicapped, but they were doing incredible artwork. Some were painting with their teeth.
Oh, wow.
And some with their feet, you know, and these, oh my gosh, what they did was amazing. And I was so inspired by that because I thought, you know, we're so limited here. We feel like we're limited by our physical beings, you know, and we're really a lot more limitless than we realize. And it just got me thinking about our connection to the Creator and how that we will realize, I think, once we are reconnected with the Creator, when we pass from this life, how limitless we really, really were. So I just wanted to kind of be in that feeling that day. And this song just came out. I always try to live in that space because if we sort of let our thoughts pull us down, and then we get tethered to all the crap in the world, you know, and I don't want to be there. And so I think, like, when I wrote that song, it was just lifting me to this higher place.
You mentioned suicide rate. Boy, I wish I had the answers to that one, but music does come into play, I think, in a good way.
Yeah, music really has saved me in all kind of ways. I mean, I had a emotional meltdown back in, I would say it was like the late 90s. I had a pretty horrific upbringing, a lot of violence in our home, a lot of verbal abuse. It was really bad, but I always was tough, and I just sort of kept going. And I think when you're in the midst of trauma, you're not realizing it as much because you're just in that survival mode place. But years later, when I was not in that anymore, I began to start to think about it and dream about it. And then I developed a PTSD from it, which I didn't even know that's what it was when all that started happening. But I got to the point where I just didn't want to be on the planet anymore. And I don't know if I could have actually killed myself. It's a little gory for me. I don't know if I could have done that, but I know that I didn't want to live. I mean, I used to think, I hope I don't wake up tomorrow morning, you know? So there was like a rock bottom moment in that time where I just was like, I'm done, you know? And I was just gonna sit in my house and let myself die naturally or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there is kind of a slow suicide, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was at, like, yeah. You know? So I was sitting there one day and I was feeling really, really bad. And like this voice inside of myself said, you know, Luann, you can give up right now, or you can like look up. You have a choice. It just came out of nowhere. And I thought, you know, that's true. I mean, if I give up, that's it. Right. But if I make the choice to look up and look for answers and to heal, then who knows what might happen. Maybe my dreams can come true. And I knew it would be a long journey, and I didn't care. I thought, well, you know what? I've got time, right? So that afternoon, I picked up this guitar that I had just bought a few days before I had this like rock bottom moment. And I kid you not, within like a few hours, I was writing songs on this guitar. I had never played guitar before. And these beautiful songs started coming out of me. They were all talking about how much, you know, I needed to heal and how connected to this wonderful positive source of the universe I wanted to be. And it was just kind of a miracle that that happened. And that really started this process of healing for me. And I know it was the music, because I was able to start getting a lot of my feelings out through that. Always encourage people, even if you're not musical, find some creative outlet for your feelings. It helps so much. Or some outlet of going and volunteering somewhere, or, you know, getting involved in a community program or something.
Something
meaningful. Yes. Something that would be special to you and you alone. Because, I mean, there's nothing like that to sort of start turning things around. I think the more you sit around and the more you focus on it, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah, the meaningful thing, I think, is underrated, because it instantly makes you happy. And it could be opening the door for somebody, you know, something simple. Or it could be starting a foundation for abused children, or, you know, something extravagant to starting a colony on Mars for people with bad acne. I don't know. I'm making this up.
Right.
Anything.
Right. I mean, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, when I started teaching singing, I had all these young kids, and I would have all these recitals. I do like three or four a year, and I'd also take them out in the community to sing at county fairs, retirement homes. But like at the recitals, they'd always bring their whole family with them. And some of the kids weren't even that great, but it was such an encouraging environment. And when they get done singing, the parents and the family would be cheering and screaming and standing ovations. And I'd be sitting backstage, just tears streaming down my face. And, you know, because I was able to help these kids as far as, you know, putting them in an environment where they were going to be so supportive on their dreams and aspirations, it went a long way for to heal myself, to heal what I had missed out on. So I think the best way to heal is to help.
It opens your capacity to love.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to articulate. And there again, music can probably say it better than my words can.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You just have to kind of come out of your gloom and doom and go and do something that makes you feel good. Even if it's, you know, going to the local animal shelter and petting the dogs or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes the simplest solutions seem the most complicated for some reason. But yeah, I think
I know.
The animals know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's funny. During this time in my life, this kitten literally showed up at my doorstep. The UPS man almost ran it over, and he came to my door for some reason. I don't know why, you know, he came to my door. But anyway, he said, "Is this your cat?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, here, take him." You know, I almost ran him over. So anyway, he gives me this little cat, and I didn't want the cat. But long story short, we couldn't find anybody to take the cat, and the shelters were full. And he wound up being the most therapeutic thing I had ever known. I mean, he was amazing. And for my husband, too, you know, he was a blessing beyond belief. And I think animals are that. Nothing like an animal to cheer you up, you know?
Absolutely. They're always your friend.
I think it's great. I think it's great. And I'm really excited about being on your show, and I can't wait to share it with everybody. Yeah. So I thought the conversation was awesome.
We can get together down the road sometime and maybe have a little recap and talk about your philosophy and how it's paying off, because I know it's going to. Can't say enough about stories like that. And I think it's sometimes just meant to be, and you wish you could talk to that the Luann of the future and tell her what's coming up, but
right.
I think all you can do is show up with your best, your A game, and do what you're doing. You got to be successful beyond your belief.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that so much, and I will. I'll send you that song, and we'll keep in touch.
All right, you're the best, Luann. Talk soon.
All right, thank you, Bruce, so much.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye bye.
listening to the Better Each Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.